Let's just engage in a brief word of prayer, please. And Father, we thank Thee as we draw to the close of another year. We can say with Samuel of old, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Lord, at the beginning of the year, You didn't promise us an easy road. And we're never promised that on our way to Zion. There's many thorns along life's pathway. But the gracious promise is, Lord, that You would be with us, that You would bless us, that You would never fail us, that You would never forsake us. And Lord, we have proved the truth of that word. And You've brought us to this day. And we just ask, Lord, as we come to Thy word in the final Lord's Day morning of an old year, that the Lord will speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that You'll fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Desperately need Thee, Lord, and we all need Thee, maybe more than we realize. And we just ask, Lord, You'll speak with that voice that wakens the dead. And may Thy name be glorified in all that we say and do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm sure you've probably picked the text already this morning. It's verse 15. It's the words of Joshua to the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And I've simply entitled my message, "Who Are You Serving?" In the history of Israel, these were delightful times because they had been brought out of Egypt. They'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And of course, that was their own fault, really, because of unbelief. But anyway, the Lord was with them. And that's a great comforting thought this morning, isn't it? Even when we go through the valleys or difficult situations, maybe even those of our own making, the Lord is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And they were exciting times because now they had crossed over the Red Sea. They were now in the Promised Land. Under God, they had defeated their enemies and claimed the land. Although as yet, there were still a few nations that were yet to be conquered. And yet the Lord speaks as if they were already defeated because He had given them their lands for an inheritance. Now, each of the tribes had received their inheritance and they could settle down and enjoy life a little. It was a time of hope and prosperity. Most of the battles they felt were behind them, and they were now in the land and the inheritance had been divided out. But it was also a dangerous time, because there's always the danger that they would forget where they had come from and all that the Lord had done for them. So quickly to forget, you know, all that the Lord has done for us, where He has brought us from and where He has brought us to. And there was the danger that they would become complacent, and where they might feel, well, we can sort of take it easy now, let down our guard, and just don't have to be in a position of readiness to fight all the time, and we'll just enjoy what the Lord has given us. But it wasn't a time for relaxation. It was a time for dedication, because the Lord, through Joshua, had challenged them, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You know, just thinking of that text, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And that's not just a once-off experience. I think we have to do that every day. Choose this day whom I'm serving. Because the devil is always busy. And there's always the danger of relaxing our guard and taking it easy. And we need to pray every day, "Lord, help me to serve Thee today." And Joshua challenges them to dedicate themselves to the Lord and His work. And he gives them the choice. Either serve the Lord or else the false gods. See, with God, there's no in-between. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. There can't be places in our heart where the Lord is not Lord. He has to be our King. That's one of His titles. He's prophet, He's priest, and He's King. And what does a king do? He rules. He rules. And his subjects are subject unto him. But he also protects and he provides. And that's what the Lord does. It had to be wholehearted. "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." And so the message is clear in the passage. We're to dedicate ourselves afresh to the Lord as we think of the Church of Jesus Christ, not just Bethany this morning, although that's special to us, isn't it? But we think of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I would hold that there are dangerous times for the Church of Jesus Christ. There's much opposition, and there's many that would try to rob us of the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And many are trying to destroy the faith of the saints of God. And there's a danger that we could relax and take our ease. And then we're reminded in the book of the Revelation in chapter 3 of the church at Laodicea. Now, we wouldn't like to think that we're a church like the church at Laodicea. You see, they thought they were increased with goods and had plenty and had need of nothing. But the head of the church, when he looked into its activities, he saw really they were wretched and they were blind and they had nothing really. What was missing? Did all the organization, they had all the hymn singing, the good preaching, all the rest. What was missing? The presence and the power of God. Because you go down that chapter, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's on the outside. And brethren and sisters, that which is vital in your life and in mine and in the life of the church is the presence and power of the Lord. If we haven't got that, we've got an empty shell. And surely here is a call from the Lord to us today. As we stand at the threshold of a new year. Now, I'm not trying to preach Mr. Elliott's New Year's message. I don't know what it is. But just a thought today. We stand on the threshold of a new year. Is this not a word for us today? Choose you this day. As we look forward in the will of God to 2010, who are we going to serve? In the church? In the community? Are we going to serve the Lord? There's a personal challenge here today. Choose you. There's a challenge to the congregation as a whole. The Church of Jesus Christ as a whole. But then the church is made up of individuals. It's not right. And everyone is important to God. And he's saying to you and I today, choose you whom you're going to serve. Whatever your plans for 2010 are, you make sure that the Lord is at the head of those plans. Now, as we consider this text, we find here that there was a time of remembrance. Now, see in verses 1 to 3 that Joshua gathers all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And he called for the elders and for their heads and the judges, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." And then as you go down the chapter, he's listing all the things that the Lord had done for them. And what is he's bringing to the remembrance? To remember who they are. They're the children of Israel. They're the people of God. Where did they come from? Your father came from Ur of the Chaldees. And when I thought of that, it wasn't very much, was it? The beginning of the nation of Israel. It wasn't very much, was it? Just Abraham. And you know, brothers and sisters, we came from very small beginnings, didn't we? As we think of the Free Presbyterian Church this morning, we came from very small beginnings. A little flock in Crossgar. When you and I think personally of where we came from, we weren't very much, were we? We were nothing. And what we are by the grace of God. He calls to remembrance what the Lord has done for them. He said in verse 6, "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And then they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness for a long season." He's bringing them to remembrance what the Lord brought them from, who they were, what God has done for them. And he asks you and I to remember today his power in your life. We were God's choice. We were called of God. You and I never would have called upon the Lord for salvation if the Lord hadn't initiated the move. He loved us before we loved him. We were going about our business of living in sin when the Lord came by his Spirit and brought us under conviction by the Word of God. And as you go down this chapter, you'll just notice the personal pronoun. And God is speaking here, and he says, I brought you. I gave you. I delivered you. And the thought here, Brian says, is that everything that we have or ever will be is all of the Lord. All of the Lord. We deserve nothing. He reminds them how he had redeemed them and delivered them out of Egypt. He reminded them of the victories they had enjoyed, the blessings they received. Oh, Israel had a great history. But you know, sometimes Israel disdained those blessings because they were a very short time out of Egypt when they began to complain and wish to God they'd still be in Egypt. You and I can forget the good times. You and I can forget what the Lord has done for us. And what we have today, we have by the grace of God. He would call us to remember where he found us. In the fearful pit and the miry clay of sin. When we were just a lump of sinful humanity. And God in his mercy and grace, he called us and he brought us forth. And he set us upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And he established our going and put a new song in our mouth. What he has done for us, well, collectively, individually, the Lord has done great things for us, for all we are glad. Once we were not the people of God, now we are the people of God. We're a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. We can look back even in a past year and we can say how the Lord has blessed us. Oh yes, there was the difficult times and the hard times. And I know I'm speaking to people this morning and they've come through deep waters. But you see, that's the point. The Lord has brought you forth. He never did promise us an easy way. The Lord didn't have an easy way as he walked the scene of time. And he certainly didn't promise you and I an easy way. But he said this. He said, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. Joshua called us to remember God's presence in our lives. The day we were saved, God gave us this promise. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. There's a lovely verse in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And it was the word that was given to Joshua as he took over from Moses. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. It's not a good word to take with us each step of the way into a new year. The Lord is with us. He's with us. He dwells in us by his Spirit. He has promised, I'll never fail thee. Now we feel the Lord. And many times we hear that in the prayer meeting, Lord, I feel thee. And we're only human and we do feel the Lord. But never ever once has the Lord failed us. And he said, I'll not forsake thee. You know, sometimes you can have fair weather friends, like the prodigal down in the far country. And while the money was plentiful and he was thrown around him, he had many friends. But you'll notice that when the money ran down, his friends ran out. And he was left. But the Lord never leaves us. And here's a word of encouragement for someone this morning. You feel nearly that God has forsaken you. He hasn't. Maybe you're saying like old Jacob, all these things were against me, the problems, the difficulties. Not a bit of it. Because behind the scenes, Jacob didn't know that God had Joseph down in Egypt and raised him up next to Pharaoh in the land so that when the famine came, Joseph would be the storekeeper of the stores of plenty. And so when Jacob and his family came down, there were plenty to give to him. It was all working together for good. It's not great. No matter what you and I face in life, it's working out together for good to them that love the Lord. And in Matthew 28 and verse 20, when he commissioned the disciples, he said, Lo, I'm with you always. And I'm sure the missionaries, and I was thinking of Paul Marino when Mr. Ed was saying about their farewell. Not a great verse that they can take with them, or any missionary, or you and I. Lo, take heed, I am with you always, in the good times, in the difficult times. And then they were to remember God's provision for them. Verse 13, and I have given you land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted. You planted not, and now do you eat. The Lord provided for them every step of the way when they went through the wilderness. And that journey was because of their unbelief. And yet God provided for them. He provided the manna. He provided the water from the rock. He clothed them. And the sandals on their feet, they never wore out. Don't make them like that nowadays. Sure they don't. For 40 years, the same pair of shoes that God provided. And he provides for you, and he provides for me. Not only the physical things, the material things, but when we think of the things that God has provided for us by his grace, the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, I'm accepted in the beloved this morning. I stand in Christ, accepted of God. All my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. And so is every saved person. We're secure in the knowledge that whatever comes our way, 2010, God has promised he'll never ever leave us or forsake us, and he'll provide for us. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then we're justified. I love that word, justified. Now, I don't care what the world says about me. I just go to God's word and I see what he says about me now that I'm in Christ. He said, you're justified. You're accepted in the beloved. Sins have been dealt with. And you're glorified. Well, we're not glorified yet, but we will be. But God looks upon us as if we're already in heaven. As if we're already, because it's done. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Never ever forget that. The devil comes, you know, and he's the greatest old muckraker. And he comes to you sometime, especially if you want to do something for the Lord, or you're having a difficulty, and he comes, you know. Look at you, did you remember that time way back? And he's the greatest old muckraker. But you know, they're all under the blood. We've confessed our sins, he has forgiven them, and we're justified. We're promised a place in heaven. Sometimes coming up January, February time, people will get the brochures out, isn't that right? And they'll wonder where we're going this summer. And you can make all the plans. And then maybe a week or a fortnight beforehand, something happens, the airline goes bust. Or something comes up in the family, you can't go. Well, I know for a dead on cert this morning that I'm for heaven, and you're for heaven if you're saved. And there's nothing going to come in to interfere with that. Because God has promised, the Lord has said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord's presence with us. I was just reading in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. I was going over this morning, and it's just a lovely verse, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. Read from verse 8 just to get the connection. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Isn't that lovely? For the Lord's portion is his people. And you know what the Lord is thinking about today? He's thinking about you and me. He's thinking about his church. He thought so much about us that he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And he's ever thinking upon us, and his thoughts towards us are good. and we're his portion, the lot of his inheritance. We're God's inheritance. And sometimes, you know, we look at ourselves and we say, well, it's not very much, is it? But he loves us. And the Bible says, we're as the apple of his eye. That's a very precious thing, isn't it? The apple of your eye. One of the most awful things to happen to anybody, I believe, in life, physically, is to lose their sight. To be deaf is horrendous, but to lose your sight, it's terrible, isn't it? That pupil is very, very important. And God says, you're like the apple of the eye. I'm looking after it. You're very precious in my sight. But then we notice there was not only a time of remembrance, a time of challenge. And you notice in verse 14, after he has brought them to remember all that the Lord has done for them, he says, in verse 14, Now therefore, because of all this, because of all that the Lord has done for you, because of all the way the Lord has led you and guided and protected you, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. It was a time of challenge. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And why should we serve the Lord? Because, brethren and sisters, it's the only reasonable thing to do. God has saved us. He has blessed us. He has called us. He's provided for our every need and will continue to do that. Credit crunch or no credit crunch. And then he's provided a place in heaven. And the most reasonable thing we can do is to serve the Lord. It was a threefold command. Fear the Lord, to clean up their lives, and serve the Lord. And that same command comes to every believer today. We need to fear God. Now that fear of God is not a slavish fear. As if we were living in fear of God. He was standing over us with a big stick, and if we take a step out of line, he's going to wallop us. It's not that. It's to have a holy reverence for God, to honor him for who he is. He's the Almighty God who loved us and gave himself for us. That's who he is. And when we remember from whence we came and what we were, then it's only a privilege, isn't it, to serve the Lord. Put away the false gods. Well, I'm sure you don't have an idol in your home, like a model of some idol of the moon or the sun, and you bow down to worship. I'm sure you don't have that. But then we have other idols, don't we? We can make an idol out of our family. Well, we ought to love our families, and we ought to provide for them. But you know, we need to say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm handing the children over to the Lord. Lord, they're yours. They're only loaned to me. And it's my desire, Lord, that you would use them to your glory, that you would save them and use them to your glory. I never ever did, said Lord, would you get them through the 11 plus? Lord, would you get them into a good profession? I always only ask for the Lord's blessing upon them, that the Lord would save them and guide them and direct them. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's her motor car. You know how it is with some people who wouldn't let a fly light in their car. Now, I think people should look after their cars. I really don't, you know. It's sitting out there in the car park and 2 weeks mud on it. But we should. But then the other extreme is people, it's nearly like an idol, isn't it? They're out polishing it all the time. A speck of dust wouldn't get lighting on it. It's their whole pride and joy. And you know, if anything happened to that, they would nearly die off. Isn't that right? Or if the youngster happened to put their dirty feet in the carpet, oh boy, it's a dear, World War III would break out. But there's many kinds of idols and gods that we would have. Isn't that right? And the Lord is saying, me first. Me first. Has to be that way. Because he deserved to be first. And the wonderful thing is, when we put God first, then everything else will fall into place. And if there's someone not saved here this morning, you're doing your best. And you're trying your best. But, you know, put God first. trust in the Lord. That means put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Take Him into the account of every detail in your life, and He will direct thy paths. But you know, we're great organizers, aren't we? We like to organize our own lives, and we like to organize other people's lives. But it says here, trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him. Take the Lord into account, young people. Take the Lord into account. And all your plans for the future, whatever that might be, take the Lord into account. Bring it before the Lord. Lord, I have this desire. If it's thy will, Lord, thy will be done. And you will save a whole lot of heartache. A whole lot of heartache. It was a challenge. They were to fear the Lord, acknowledge Him, have the Lord in His rightful place. Start the day with God. He's the Lord of the day. He knows what lies ahead. You and I don't. He knows, so we can commit our day unto Him. Serve the Lord in sincerity, as those who have been bought with a price for His possession. And we should serve Him in sincerity. That is, wholeheartedly, honestly, unreservedly. This is what Paul was meaning in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's all we can do. If we're going to serve the Lord, we must make our bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God. And be not conformed to this world. That's a difficulty for young people, isn't it? The pull of the world and the call of the world, it's strong. And we need to be close to the Lord and walking in His word. And then the word sincere, we're told it comes from two Latin words. It means without wax. Now, where's the connection here? Well, it was used of an honest pottery dealer. And he wouldn't sell pottery that had the least flaw or crack in them. If that was so, they weren't on the shelf for sale. But then there were unscrupulous dealers. Maybe a wee crack in the pot, and they'd get the wax and they'd melt it and they'd fill in the crack. But the thing was, when you held the pot up to the light, you could see the wax. And it was found out to be flawed. You know, people who live insincere lives are clearly seen for the hypocrites they are. Many make professions, but they have no possession. And we all need to take stock of our hearts. The Lord doesn't want anything insincere in our worship. The Lord said to many in His day, "This people draw near to Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." You know, what a difference it would make if we had come to the house of God and we came that morning, "Lord, I want to worship Thee. I want to serve Thee. I want to praise Thee, Lord. And Lord, I want to hear what You'll say through Thy servant to my heart." What a difference that would make. What a difference that would make. Now, I know sometimes people have families, it's difficult getting them out in the morning. And maybe a woman with three or four youngsters, and you know, they've been awkward, and it's hard to get in sometimes in time. But if possible, you know, if we're going to come and worship the Lord, we're going to give Him the whole time. And we need to be in our place and preparing our hearts, isn't that right? In sincerity. And then we'll stay. We'll stay for the whole meeting. Sometimes maybe people, for some reason or other, have to slip out. But you know, we should stay for the whole meeting. The Lord is here. We say that. The Lord is here. It would be an insult if you were a guest in somebody's household and it had spread for you and you walked out before it was finished. So we come to God's house and we worship Him in sincerity and in truth. No wax about us. Just a genuine article. And then they are confronted by a choice. And Joshua challenged the people, choose whom they would serve. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? Choose you whom you will serve. And we look at the other end. Look at the Lord. Look at the people that the Lord chooses to serve him. What am I? Bothered me to get my 3 O-levels to get into the theological hall. I didn't with Mr. Elliott. He was top of the class. But, you know, we struggled. Who were we? Brought up in a working class family in Coleraine. We were nothing. And yet the Lord took us and has taken you to use you to serve him. You'll note the people Elijah challenged in 1 Kings 18 and 21. How long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. Here was a people that had got out of the way of serving the Lord. There was Baal worship rampant in the land. And Elijah challenges them. How long halt ye between two opinions? Brethren and sisters, the Lord is Lord, or he's not Lord at all. We need to serve him. And we think of some of the great men and women that served the Lord down through the century. You think of Daniel. Remember, Daniel, as a young lad, was 18 years of age, and our time is gone. And he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And no matter what the edict went out, that there was not to pray for 90 days, he was going to pray anyway. It was business as usual. 3 times a day, he would get to the place of prayer. And nothing was going to hinder him. It didn't matter what the edict was from the king. Yes, he would honor him as far as that was concerned. But when it came to the things of God, then he was going to carry on. The 3 Hebrew children, Daniel chapter 3. Remember when they built up the idol. And they were to, when they heard all sorts of music, they were to bow down to it. And they didn't bow down. Of course, there's always plenty to tell on you, isn't there? And they went to the king. They don't honor thee. They don't regard thee. That was a lie. They did regard the king. And they honored the king as far as it went. When it came to the things of God, they honored him. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to serve thy gods. And we're not going to be careful to answer thee in this matter. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We didn't take any time to think about it, O king. We respect you, but we fear the Lord. And we're going to serve him. And we will not be bowing down. And even if you do throw us into the fiery furnace, we're still not going to do it. And they didn't. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. We know the result. The king himself had to say, I thought there were 3 men thrown in here. But there's 4 now. And one is like unto the Son of God. The Lord was with him. It was not the evidence the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. And then it was a time of consecration. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As we consider what the Lord has done for us, as think what the Lord has made us, what the Lord has provided for us, surely we can do nothing else but say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people, they responded and they said, yes, we will serve the Lord. Verse 18. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt upon in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Oh, they were very quick to make that profession, to vow that vow. Yes, Lord, we'll serve thee. Think of all you've done for us, Lord, and what you've provided. We're going to serve thee. But Joshua wasn't taken in by it. You go down the chapter, he made a record. And that record was a witness to their vow that they were going to serve the Lord. And sadly, if you read on in the books of following the book of Joshua, Judges, Kings, Chronicles, they failed miserably. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says it's better not to vow than to vow and not to keep. But we need to say to the Lord, Lord, we're going to serve thee 2010. As far as me and my house are concerned, I'm going to train the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to serve thee. No matter what anybody else is going to do, no matter how difficult the way might be, no matter the opposition, No matter how things don't pan out for us, we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, and we're just going to go through with God. You make that vow today, you keep it. Because it's better not to vow than to vow and not to keep. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Unsaved people, the place that Joshua called them to was Shechem. Shechem was the first place that Abraham came to in the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan. It's the first place. And the first time that Jacob came to Shechem, he built an altar and he dug a well. If you're going to serve the Lord, you need to know the Lord. You need to come to the cross. You need there to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And then, out of the well of salvation, there is pleasures forevermore. You need to come to the Lord today. Wouldn't it be a great thing, the last Sunday of an old year, that you would come to Christ and consecrate your life unto Him. And there's no telling what God can do for you, in you, and through you. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts.